Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Twist of Demon by S.E. Babin. Narrated by Heather Nichols. Chapter 1. A tentacle rested on the bar, shimmering blue and green against the soft fairy lights I'd commissioned months ago from a woman named Ariel. Cash was rarely king around here, so as a trade for her services, she sent in a large shift of fairies 3 times a week who provided a stunning, multicolored, and shimmering ambiance for the bar, and I let them hang around and lounge after their shift, feeding and getting drunk off my patrons' emotions. It saved Ariel money because fairies ate like a high school football team, while giving my bar an ethereal and otherworldly appearance I didn't have to shell out my hard-earned cash for. Two of my favorites, Keely and Olive, grimaced down at the appendage and gave me a look. I shrugged and continued wiping down the bar. They weren't here to offer an opinion, but even I didn't love the slime currently dripping onto the highly polished oak. There weren't enough washcloths in the world to deal with octopus drip, and even with as much as I'd seen, slime always gave me the heebers. "Dave?" I probed gently. The snoring octopus shifter didn't budge. I wasn't anti-tentacle or anything, just anti-tentacle on top of my bar. Hell only knew where those things had been. I once read a few passages of Octopi Erotica once after someone left a copy behind, and all I could think when I finished was, ew, and gross, and oh my gods, do not touch me with any slimy appendages. Dave usually didn't have his tentacles out. As patrons went, he was one of the better ones, so something must have happened for him to be passed out at my bar this early with his goodies showing. "Dave," I probed again, moving closer, "I'm going to need you to put that thing away." He shifted, a long, thin strand of drool falling from his mouth. I cringed and made a mental note to ensure the mop water was less water and more fabuloso tonight. Olive and Keely giggled above me, a high-pitched tinkling that sounded more like wind chimes than laughter. They didn't laugh often, but when they did, it always made me happy. Such was the power of the tiny fae. Adorable, cozy, and deadly if you pissed them off. Exactly what I needed around here, considering the clientele I catered to. Swan Noveltini sat between a tourist voodoo shop called Voodoo for You, the kind with plastic shrunken heads and fancy smell-good candles with handwritten script spells and labels like, "To get your man's head right," or my personal favorite, "Girl Boss Monday through Friday." If people only knew what authentic voodoo looked like, they'd probably keep a wide berth around even the hint of it. The owner, a frightening woman named Bella, kept all the good stuff in the back, and you had to know the password to see it. I'd met Bella once, made a quip about Twilight, and asked whether she regretted her choice of Edward versus Jacob. As payback for that stupid little joke, Bella retaliated, and my underwear left me crab-walking and red-assed for a week. Now I kept any witty quips to myself when it came to her. The other place was a little less dark, though the owner kept to himself. I rarely saw more than a glimpse of him, and when I did, it wasn't for more than a second at a time. Virtuous Vixens was a cute little shop with fairy lights twinkling in the windows and an ever-changing display of overpriced boutique clothing. I'd never gone in. My style consisted of the sniff test and whatever detergent was on sale that month. Boutique screamed dry cleaning, and my place barely paid the bills. I hoped that would change soon. When I decided to open a potion and bookshop smack in the middle of the New Orleans nightlife, I thought I might get laughed out of the place. But so far, it's turned into a fun, novelty place people stumbled into on a regular basis. I used the word people lightly. There were few humans here, and the ones who found their way here had no idea they were sitting with many things that could swallow them in a single bite. Many, many years ago, when New Orleans became a mecca for things that went bump in the night, a powerful sorceress put a glamour over the entire city, or so the story goes, allowing any beast or magician who wanted to live here the ability to walk around without being recognized as other, except by their paranormal kin. It turned out to be surprisingly handy, though I still freaked out a little when I saw an unwitting human trying to flirt with a vampire, having no idea her chosen paramour could drain her dry in less than a minute. Even though it was noisy as hell all around us, Dave was still lost in beauty sleep. "Dave!" I said one more time, a snap in my voice not present before. When he failed to stir again, I sent a helpless look over to my one and only other bartender, a massive dude named Landry. He was a gifted bartender, and I still had no idea why he worked here for the wages I could pay him. I asked him once, and his look had me slinking off to do something else, quickly. Landry, slinging drinks at the other end of the bar, slid a confidence potion disguised as a Cosmo over to a young woman with small horns curling above her forehead. After he slid the payment into the register, he unslung the towel from his shoulders, twisted it by swinging it around between his hands, then snapped it right at Dave's forehead. I winced at the loud cracking sound, but Dave jerked awake, eyes wide, and a red, stinging welt forming quickly on his face.
"Whoa!"
he said, gaze whipping around. Landry gave him a dead look before nodding to me and walking back to his end of the bar. I pointed. Dave's brow furrowed before all the cylinders started firing, then gasped and jerked his tentacles back, tucking them wherever those slime-filled appendages went when not actively being used. Color bloomed across his cheeks.
"Sorry, Violet,"
he murmured.
"I don't know what's gotten into me."
Kelly and Olive sighed in relief and resituated themselves among their brethren, bringing the glow back up from cool to warm. I gave them a thumbs up and focused on Dave. "You gotta keep those things in, Dave. It disturbs the populace." He gave me a sheepish smile.
"Sorry again. Work has been a real bear, and with the upcoming coronation, the outgoing queen is working us like dogs. Sleep has been hard to come by."
Dave would never be considered handsome. Odd, yes. Handsome? Nope. The only handsome creatures coming from the sea were royalty, which I avoided like the plague. I once caught sight of one of the queen's sons. Dude looked like Jason Momoa and Ryan Gosling had a baby, and the urge to take a bite out of him had me heading the opposite direction in a hurry. If I'd been this good for this long, hormones weren't going to be the thing that did me in. "First one is on the house," I said, pushing the menu over to him. "What are you having?" Dave hadn't been at the bar for 5 minutes before he fell deep into slumber. I wasn't without empathy. The Queen of the Underseas was known for being quite the taskmaster. I wouldn't know. I'd never met her. One thing I knew how to do was stay far away from anyone powerful enough to know my parents. I stayed firmly in the middle, trapped between the lower-class paranorms and those who had just enough power to defend themselves and worked a regular 9-to-5. Dave's bulging eyes skimmed down the menu before landing on the drink he always ordered.
"Number 20.
He pushed the menu away. The hydration special. It never failed to crack me up every time he ordered it. Dave lived underwater, in the murky body of water known as Lake Pontchartrain. I wouldn't even dip my toes in it, much less call it home. Granted, it's cleaner than it used to be, but by no means would I ever consider it pristine. Shaking my head, I got to work on Dave's drink. This one wasn't magical, merely a blend of fresh spring water, mint, and a raspberry-flavored hydration pack. It had to taste better than the water he was used to. His eyes lit up when I passed it over, and a smile curled my lips. What a strange little weirdo. Tonight was relatively slow. The middle of the week wasn't known for being all that rowdy, especially outside of the holiday season. Dave sipped happily on his drink, while Keely and the other fairies whispered among themselves, their swaying skirts a hypnotic wave over the top of us. Two other paranorms sat huddled together in the corner by one of the few windows. They were too far away to identify, but I suspected shifters of some kind. Not werewolves. Those had sort of an odd green energy feel to them. More chartreuse if they were weaker, more brilliant the more power they had. Hundreds of different shifter types existed. I could really get into the weeds with it if I let myself think about it for too long. On the other side of the bar where Landry served sat a few others. All regulars, and they came here for Landry, not for me. I was lucky to get a hello if I happened to pass by. If they came in and saw he wasn't working, they'd grunt unhappily and head right back out the door. Maybe they thought I'd poison their drinks or something. I'd asked Landry about it once, and he'd merely shrugged and said maybe he made better drinks than me. Lies. All lies. Landry wasn't human, but that's all I knew about him. His energy field was an odd mix of pink and purple interspersed with bright royal blue, and he was grumpy, like all the time. He usually communicated in grunts and monosyllables, but he got the job done and the customers were happy. The best thing about him was he never bitched about the pay I could barely afford, so he was employee of the month every month material. It didn't hurt he was drop-dead gorgeous either. Pretty and not all that concerned about money. Part of me initially wondered if he was a criminal, but an extremely thorough background cleared him. Still suspicious, but I couldn't say much. I was hiding just as much as him, probably more. The only negative about him was Landry couldn't make the drinks the same because he wasn't like me. From what I could tell, our magic had no similarities, which forced him to use pre-made potions I came in early to make each morning. He had to be better at the mundane mixing than I was, or his regulars were just extremely loyal. Or they hated me more than they liked him. Or they just wanted to ogle him for a few hours. I couldn't blame them. As long as they paid their tabs, I didn't care. The blonde came in every Wednesday and Friday, sometimes with a man who wore an odd bowler hat. She was tall, lean, and stunning, all things I could never claim. I was short, curvy, and freckled, and most of the time a little on the grumpy side. She smiled only for Landry, but never acted inappropriately toward him. The man ordered the same drink every single time, a simple whiskey on the rocks, no frills, no potions. The woman's ordering was all over the place, both paranorms. I'd never seen the man's type of energy field before, but I suspected the woman was a succubus. Hers was similar to a few I'd met over the years. As long as she didn't munch on the patrons, she was welcome. Only the fairies were allowed to munch a little, and that's because we had a contract. I finished wiping down the bar and slung the towel over my shoulder. Half an hour until closing time. The thought of soaking in my old copper tub sent a tingle down my spine. It came with the old house I'd purchased a few years ago, and I had it restored until it gleamed. The old owners thought it wasn't worth anything, but I wasn't about to throw out a beauty like that. Now it sat in my tiny bathroom, right underneath the stained glass window I'd rescued from a damaged church after a tropical storm blew through. That tub and I had good times together. A little sigh escaped me as I checked the clock again, only to see not even a minute had passed. I brushed past Landry on my way to the back to make sure everything was ready for closing. My eyes locked with the blonde. A hard expression locked on her face as she stared. I blinked, wondering what I'd ever done to her before her gaze flicked away and landed on my bartender again. Weird. Shrugging it off, I pushed through the doors to the back and headed over to the potion cabinet to make sure everything was secure. This area wasn't the prettiest, but it did the job. Concrete gray floors kept the temperature several degrees cooler. I kept only stainless steel and glass work tables because of the ingredients I dealt with and used only stainless tools. A massive cabinet loomed in the back. If you stood far enough away, you'd think it was merely a storage cabinet. The second you moved to within 5 feet, the runes inscribed on the door gave off a "get away from me" vibe most people couldn't stand. Landry always gave the cabinet a wide berth, a faint sneer of distaste curling his lips every time he had to go back here to collect anything from the massive walk-in fridge a few feet to the right. There was no need for a lock, at least of the mundane kind. If the rune combination didn't do the trick, the magical biometric system would. And if some evil genius managed to bypass that one, they'd never get past the prick of blood required to access it. As far as I knew, there'd never been another of me. Not exactly. And there sure as hell wouldn't be one in the future. Some kids overlooked the curse of being one of a kind. It never made me feel special or wanted. All it did was ruin my life. Every single day, I paid the price of my parents' sins, forcing me to live a life I never wanted. It wasn't an awful life. I'd be lying if I said that, but it wasn't the life I ever wanted to live. There were 75% of me I could never admit to. I could never access my full potential, never live the life I might have been destined to. The moment I tried, I'd die horribly. My foster father, Az, had been very clear about it my entire life. If I ever accessed the parts of myself he'd hidden deep inside, I wouldn't live to see the morning. Imagine me as a teenager, raging with hormones and unreleased magic, trying to control my urge for freedom. I owed my dad a never-ending supply of beer and apologies. Since the go-away magic was keyed to me, I stepped right through and laid my hand against the outer stainless steel coating of the cabinet. Warmth sank in, followed by freezing cold as it took my measure. Once satisfied, the door clicked open and the smell of herbs and dirt wafted out. A content sigh escaped me as I pulled it all the way open, smiling at the gnarled ancient wood and the tiny fairy lights of the mundane variety, blinking softly over all the tools of my trade. I'd rather store all my supplies in wood, but a massive carved cabinet made from a long-extinct tree might have raised some eyebrows with the health inspectors, so I had to disguise it from the outside. It had a glamour I could activate when necessary, but I only used it when I was forced to. I suspected the cabinet had an odd form of sentience as well. So far, I hadn't been able to prove it, but there had been a few times when the glamour activated on its own, and when I'd turned, someone had stepped into the employee's area when they weren't supposed to be there. It felt like the cabinet had become a guardian of the tools inside. Over the many years I'd walked this earth, I'd gathered ancient, sometimes extinct, herbs, spices, ingredients, liquids, fungi, spores, and even parts of animals humans had never heard of to aid me in my work. I used only glass to store them, though I was even picky about that. It had to be thick-walled glass, and if something was light-sensitive, the glass also had to be amber. When I lived in other countries, I had more freedom and kept a menagerie of live animals who provided me with feathers or fur or the occasional egg if they felt like being generous. Today, so many people had cell phones. I couldn't chance being caught on a cell phone video working with animals no one had ever seen in nature before. This had to be enough for me. My life depended on it. I took care of as many closing chores as I could. Landry would shut the bar down and clean up there, leaving me to finish everything back here. We didn't sell food yet, something I hoped to remedy over the next few months. Right now, it was only peanuts and Chex Mix, poured right from the bag into the bowl. I had a popcorn machine for the longest time until a rowdy group of shifters took it out when I made the mistake of hiring a rock band on a full moon and allowing werewolves into the bar. Some of the regulars were still pissed about it. I dumped the mop water out into the sink and rinsed the rest of the gray water out of the bucket before tucking it and the mop back into the storage closet. The noise outside had filtered to only the sound of Landry clinking glasses together as he put things away. I grabbed my purse and cardigan, shrugging it on while also double-checking to ensure I had my belt on. Forgetting it could mean the difference between life and death, so I never forgot. I also made sure I never forgot the potions inside. My hands brushed over the ancient, well-oiled leather, and my nails tapped against a few of the glass bottles. Satisfied, I pulled my long red hair out from underneath my sweater and slung my purse on bandolier style, patting it as it settled against my hip. The potions I carried sat securely inside of their leather pockets, released only by my will. They wouldn't break even if I fell on top of them. I'd gone over 20 years since an attack, but letting my guard down was the fastest way to get dead, a lesson I learned the hard way. Fortunately, not the permanent way. New Orleans, by and large, wasn't the safest spot I could have picked to settle in, but it was where I felt most at home. I was an outcast due to safety, an introvert by circumstance, never by choice. If I could live the way I wanted, I'd be deep in a crowd, dancing my heart out, crowing to the moon. And yet, I was here, armed up with a variety of annoying and deadly potions, single and barely scraping by. Story of my life. Squaring my shoulders, I adjusted the belt to make sure it didn't show when I walked outside and pushed through the back doors to say goodbye to Landry. He leaned a hip against the bar, polishing off the last few wine glasses. Our eyes met. "I'm heading out. Everything under control?" He grunted.
"I'll be in tomorrow, but don't forget I'm off after the second shift."
I'd forgotten he was taking vacation. We talked so little I didn't think to ask where he was going, not that he'd tell me. "Thanks, Landry." I took a cursory look around the place, even though Landry had never let me down. "See you tomorrow, then." I rarely left through the front door anymore, not since the last attack. It came at me as I walked down the front steps, me completely in my own world, head bopping to a new song on the radio. Now I kept solely to the back, making sure I felt out the area before I opened the door. Inhaling a breath, I let my eyes flutter shut and sent out a tiny trickle of magic, safe enough to escape notice in a city like this. Magic lived everywhere in New Orleans, and the lack of inhibition by the tourists and most of the residents only boosted its power. My magic swept through the area by the dumpster and the back parking lot. I felt a few presences, but they were walking away, not hovering. I opened my eyes and headed outside, turning to lock the deadbolt. The wards around the building remained steady and undisturbed. Initially, I set them to include the parking lot, but regretted it right away. Lots of tourists meant lots of lost families, and as soon as the third car full of humans set off the ward in less than an hour, I stomped outside to adjust it, adding an additional tweak for those who meant me specific harm. Now it encompassed only the building and attached storage area. It was a little tricky sometimes, since almost all paranorms were dangerous, and sometimes even though they liked me, they still thought about eating me. It took a while for the ward to tell the difference between friend, ish, and foe. As soon as the lock clicked, a foreign presence registered in my senses. I stiffened and started to spin, but pain smashed through the back of my head. A strangled scream tore from my throat. My ankle twisted, sending me plummeting off the second step. My left shoulder hit the ground first, sending a loud crack in the night. Pain burst through my body, but I couldn't wait for the pain to fully register. If I did, I'd be dead. With a grunt of effort, I rolled and sprang to my feet, ignoring the useless arm hanging at my side. It was the least of my worries.
With barely a thought, I cast a net of silence out around the parking lot to keep out prying ears.
I'd been working on a veil potion, but illusion had never been my strongest suit. There were other things I could use to conceal us. Some of the potions pulsed against my hip, whispering a longing to be used. Many witches and magicians thought potions were inert, only used as a tool of their master's will. I knew otherwise. Each potion I created, I imbued a piece of myself within, creating a link between me and the once-living ingredients. The first time Az watched me work, his eyes had widened, and he encouraged me to make them any other way than the way I had. Frightened, I tried to do as he asked, but every single potion after that fizzled. I never used deadly potions until I knew what I was up against. Three men stood in my field of vision. A hint of sulfur wafted in the breeze as a slow grin slid over the first one's face. Demons. Shit. Chapter 2.
Hello, Brewer,
it said, the words rough and sibilant. They all looked human. If I saw them from across the street, I wouldn't know they were demons. Only two things gave them away. The sulfur smell and the goat-slitted eyes, currently hiding under dark sunglasses. A dead giveaway since it was the middle of the night. This one had dark, pockmarked skin, broad white teeth, and close-cropped hair. The one standing to the right was a ginger and looked like he'd skipped high school English class to be here. The third stood taller than the others, a warier expression on his face than the others wore. Perhaps he sensed exactly how much danger they were all in. If so, he'd be smarter than 95% of paranorms out there. Admittedly, I didn't look like much. My height fell on the shorter side, 5'2 on a good day. I was on the curvier side, though leanly muscled due to the daily workouts as curated for me, constantly switching them around to work new muscle groups. As much as I loved him, I hated him for 45 minutes every single day. My hair was a wild riot of fiery orange curls, the real color disguised under a powerful and undetectable glamour created by my foster mother. Add green eyes, freckles, and a pert nose, I had the look of an Irish lass with the temper to match. And third dude seemed to realize it. I crossed my arms over my chest, ensuring I kept my potions belt hidden. It wasn't the first time someone had called me a brewer. Technically, I was one, but I was so much more, too. Hello, I said, keeping my voice breezy. I take it you're here to rob me? First guy blinked. Demons. Lower-level ones had the IQ of a teenage boy standing next to a swimsuit model. Third guy piped up. Apparently, the ginger was the strong silent type.
We should go.
The first demon snorted and slid a glance over to the one who spoke. A strange scent floated to me on the breeze, deep and masculine. The scent of ancient mysteries and danger. Fear skittered down my spine. It wasn't coming from these knuckleheads. I chanced a quick look to my right and noticed a shadowy figure leaning against the old stone of the building next to us, watching the show. Irritation flared within me at the intrusion, added on to the fact they hadn't stepped in to offer assistance. Whoever it was, I didn't want to know. I had to extricate myself from this situation as soon as possible before I attracted too much notice. My fingers inched down to my hips and hovered over a lesser potion, Frostbite. Demons belonged in the bowels of hell. Using fire against them was foolish. I'd made Frostbite with rosemary honey, thistle mead, a few other herbs, and the eye of a yeti. Annoyance glimmered through me. It took forever to get that stupid eye. Not to mention having to regrow three toes on my left foot due to the cold. Using it on these losers aggravated me to no end. The first demon turned his attention back to me.
You got a safe in there. We want access to it. That's all. We've no plans to hurt you.
The smile didn't reach his eyes. Demons could control humans, but most had no capacity for empathy or love or amusement, especially those from the lower levels. He was merely pulling the strings of the skin puppet he inhabited. Relief flooded me. They didn't know who I was. Still, getting robbed wasn't on my list of fun things to do today.
Yeah, I growled. Tell that to my broken arm, asshole.
I pulled the frostbite potion from the belt with my good hand and tossed it at the demons. The third flung himself away, but the other two couldn't move fast enough, screeching in agony as it exploded into a spray of white ice and snow. White mist covered the parking lot, sending me wheeling back, scrambling to get far enough away I could avoid becoming collateral damage. I scanned the area, peering through the white. Demon squeals came from both directions, and that meant I was safe from those two.
The third one was too silent. Creeping forward on silent feet, I touched another potion, willing it to prepare. Black Death, this time. I sensed the attack a split second before it came. Ducking, the wind ruffled my hair as the ginger struck. The jagged piece of wood flew inches above my head, setting the demon off balance when it failed to strike. I let go of the potion and pulled out Chires, my old and trusty dagger.
Yes, it hissed.
I winced as the knife struck true, deep in the throat of the ginger demon. Its eyes widened even as the piece of wood fell from its hand. The demon swayed, its eyes flickering from anger to surprise, before it fell to its knees and lurched to the side.
One down.
My voice shook in pain. Sweat beaded on my forehead and rolled down my neck. The arm would heal, but it was useless for a while, and it prevented me from moving normally. The screeches died down and turned into pained moans. Footsteps came from behind me, calm and patient. I looked over my shoulder, but the mist still hadn't cleared up. On silent feet, I crept over to the other two demons. They were maybe 6 feet away from each other, so if I threw a potion, it might not work as well due to the distance. I could use it on one or none, but it wouldn't take them both out. Chires hummed in my hand, a comforting cold weight I'd neglected. It had been a gift from Az, an enchanted dagger with too many opinions of its own and thoughts about my lack of cold-blooded murder. Chires didn't need blood to survive. It was eternal. Blood was more of a fine wine to it, unnecessary but greatly appreciated. The dagger was sentient, intelligent, and bloodthirsty, and it knew when to keep quiet. I crept on the balls of my feet, my eyes constantly scanning. If I were lucky, I'd come up behind them. I was rarely lucky. A soft grunt came from the right. I stilled, adjusting my path, the dagger palmed lightly in my hand. It glowed a light silver, disguised with the mist still swirling around us like a blizzard.
"Where is that bitch?"
the first demon hissed.
"Close," said the other.
"I can smell her."
He was probably full of shit. When demons wore skin suits, they lost most of their enhanced senses and had to live with the senses of the humans they'd invaded. Unless the one it wore had an excellent sense of smell, it was lying. I stopped wearing perfume over a millennia ago, when I almost lost a kidney to an angry goddess pissed the male she'd had her eye on liked the way I looked a little more than he should. I'd worn jasmine essence behind my ears that day, and she'd smelled me come up behind her through a storm of fire and ash. I still had a tiny scar on my right side because of the enchanted knife she'd used. Even so, I steadied my shoulders, rose to the balls of my feet, and readied myself to strike. The footsteps I heard earlier had long fallen silent. Smart. If the stranger was human, it was taking its life into its own hands by being around here. But humans were so curious it turned into stupidity sometimes. A flash of a dark sleeve sent my head jerking back. The demon hadn't sensed me yet and was flailing around, trying to get its bearings. A smile tugged on my lips. This was almost too easy. With a snarl curling my lips, I leapt forward, grabbing the demon around the neck and using my other hand to drag my dagger across its throat. It choked. Hot blood pouring from the wound and oozing over my arm. I waited for the demon's limp struggles to stop before lowering it to the ground.
"They're gone?"
the second demon sounded unsure. Those footsteps sounded again. I grimaced and hoped whoever it was didn't get in my way.
"Aragon's not here," I cheerily called. "He's gone to sleep."
Demons couldn't be killed on our plane. As soon as all the electrical systems in the human body shut down and it was truly dead, the soul escaped into the afterlife, and the demon parasite would release and sink into the ground and back into the bowels of the level of hell it had come from. The only trace of its presence, a dark black spot on the ground, which could only be cleaned with salt and holy water. Another annoyance for me to deal with later.
"I'm going to gut you, human whore."
A chuckle escaped me. Men loved to throw words around like that when a woman displeased them, didn't they? I always thought it funny how men could dip their wicks into anything with the right cavern and they were bros, but women couldn't make decisions about their own sex lives or bodies without being labeled with offensive and derogatory names. It was a tale as old as time. Unfortunately for this dude, it would be the last time he'd ever say something of the like.
"Come and get me," I called.
Chires chuckled, the blade vibrating in anticipation. A shift of wind came from my left. I moved back, but not before a stinging cut bloomed across my arm. The demon chuckled and came into view.
"Open the safe and I'll still let you walk away."
This demon appeared to be the dumbest of the three.
Lank brown hair, dull muddy eyes, and a lower lip that jutted out to the side. I bet the human whose skin he wore went through hand lotion and tissues like a rabbit goes through a country garden, rapidly and with no remorse. I snorted and twirled.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?